The Bible reading today will be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 14. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry.
Can we just have a prayer as we start? Lord God, as we look at this whole subject of temptation, we thank you for your promise that you give us a way out of temptation. Please help us to take your word and cleave it to our hearts and to hold it there in gratitude. And may it affect the way we run our lives this week and into the future. We make that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as has already been said, we're continuing in the series about God's promises. God promises a way out of temptation. And earlier this morning, Sam sent me an email, which I think is brilliant, because actually it just shows that a lot of planning goes on into the services. And he wanted the service to be coherent. And so he sent me this email and said, what are the key points that you're going to be making in the sermon tonight? So let me just tell you that if there's one thing that I want everybody to go home with resounding in their hearts tonight, it is this: that temptation is not a sin. Temptation isn't a sin. There's nothing wrong with temptation. Every single person who lives is subject to temptation. And that includes Jesus himself when he was walking on earth as a man. He knew what it was to be tempted. And when you get tempted, actually you can think of it, it's a bit like cold rain on your face. At least you know you're alive. I think thinking about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness is a good place to start. You remember that was that period before his public ministry when he went out into the wilderness all on his own with 40 days of heat and cold nights and hunger and nothing but wild animals and Satan to keep him company. And you'll remember that whilst he was out there, he was tempted three times, or in three different ways. First of all, he was tempted to satisfy his hunger. Satan said to him, look, just turn those stones into bread. If you're so clever, if you're God, you can turn those stones into bread. That'll satisfy your hunger. And when that didn't work, Satan said, well, I'll tell you what, let's kickstart your ministry. Everybody needs to know that you're the Son of God. So you just prove you're the Son of God by going up into a really high place and chuck yourself off. And then if God saves you and gives you a safe landing, everybody will know you're his son. Well, Jesus wasn't falling for that one either. And so thirdly, the devil said, look, just give in to me. Just give in. Do what I want me to do. And do you know what? All the power and the wealth that you can begin to imagine will be yours. And again, Jesus managed to resist the temptation. And each time that he resisted temptation, he quoted scripture. His allegiance was to God, and he knew that his job here on earth was to carry out God's will, not Satan's will, nor even his own will. And so every time he was tempted, his answer was, get away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And I think it's really important that we remember that Jesus was subject to such enormous temptation. And the reason that it's so important that we remember that is that when we turn to verse 13 of our reading, and Paul says, when you're tempted, he'll provide you a way out so you can stand up under it. Well, we can believe him. You see, we can believe that God will save us from temptation because he's been there. Jesus has been there. Jesus has been there, done that. He's undergone all the common temptations we all face. He's undergone the strongest temptations that Satan could throw at him. And yet he didn't succumb. He remained faithful to his Father. Not only were those temptations the same ones that we go through, they're the more extreme than we'll ever go through. And that's important too. Let me quote you something from C.S. Lewis. It wouldn't be a sermon from Martin if you didn't have a bit of C.S. Lewis, because I think he's fantastic. C.S. Lewis said this in Mere Christianity. He said that a silly idea is current that good people don't know what temptation means. Now that's an obvious lie. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. A man who gives in to temptation after 5 minutes doesn't know what it would have been like an hour later. That's why bad people, in one sense, know very little about badness. They've lived a sheltered life by always giving in. We never find out the strength of the evil impulse inside us until we try to fight it. And Christ, because he was the only man who never yielded to temptation, is also the only man who knows to the full what temptation means. He is the only complete realist. We never find out the strength of the evil impulse inside us until we try to fight it. And I think that's why it's been said, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, perhaps what that means is, please don't push us just too hard, so hard that we give in. Now, let me take a step back. I started by saying there's nothing wrong with temptation, and everyone who lives, and that includes Jesus, knows what it is to be tempted. But I failed to explain what I mean by temptation or what the Bible means by temptation. And there's a very good reason for that, because I spent hours trying to put it into words as I was preparing for this sermon. How do you define temptation? The word that Paul used in this passage, which is translated as temptation, is the Greek word, and I shan't get the pronunciation right, but David will put me right later on, perasmos. Perasmos. And it's translated in other places in the Bible as test or prove. You know, proving, a bit like actually proving bread is, you're proving that the yeast is alive. or assayers prove, use acid to prove that gold is really gold before they put their stamp on it. That's what proving means and testing means. And in the biblical context, it's often used to describe God's testing of people to see whether or not their faith is genuine and to see whether their faith is pure or has it been tainted by maybe the outside world, maybe by other faiths that don't worship the Lord our God. Maybe faith has become tainted with fallacies. And if we look through the Bible, you can see all sorts of testing. And I think, you can argue with me afterwards, but I think possibly the most extreme test in the Old Testament was that one which Abraham went through when God wanted to see if he was going to obey orders at all personal cost, in spite of personal cost. And so he commanded that Isaac should sacrifice, that Abraham should sacrifice his son Isaac. God wasn't trying to entice Abraham into committing sin. He wasn't actually trying to get him to commit murder. What he was doing was he was testing him to find his eventual breaking point. And Abraham's faith and obedience, of course, as we all know, was so strong that he went right up to the point where he was going to go through with it. But here's the bit for us tonight. Actually, God provided a way out. God provided that ram caught by its horns in the thicket and said, "All right, stop there. You've proved your faith. Now go and get the ram and sacrifice that instead." And that's why in our passage, Paul is able to say, God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he'll also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Lead us not into temptation. Please don't push us too far. So what was all that early bit of the reading about? You remember the bit when Paul talked about our ancestors were all under a cloud and they passed through the sea and God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Well, what's that got to do with anything? I haven't seen it recently. Maybe you could tell me if there is one around, but there used to be a fashion where you'd see road signs when you were out driving. Big black signs saying, "Accident black spot, 73 accidents in the last 18 months, 62 people have died, drive carefully." Don't see those so much nowadays, but there used to be lots of them around. And the message, of course, was absolutely clear. What it was saying was, come on guys, just be sensible. Don't become a statistic. And that's what Paul's saying here. Only he isn't so much concerned with statistics as he's saying, come on guys, learn from history about the accident black spot of temptation. And he's talking about the children of Israel when they left Egypt. They didn't know where they were going, but God was leading them to freedom. And he led them, do you remember, by a pillar. I imagine it was a bit like we see tornadoes, you know, pictures of tornadoes. He led them by a pillar. And at night he led them by a pillar of fire. And then they got to the Red Sea. And when they got to the Red Sea, he parted the Red Sea. And they passed through. And the sea went back again, closed up again. And the soldiers who were following them were all swallowed up. God led them. God saved them. And then they ended up in the desert and there they were with no food or water. And God provided for them. God gave them manna and he gave them quail and he gave them water. Water from a rock which Moses stood and prayed over. He lifted his stick and prayed that water would come forth, and God provided it. But here's the accident waiting to happen. Here's the road sign to tell us of the dangers. In spite of God leading them, in spite of God saving them, in spite of God protecting them, in spite of God giving all that they needed, instead of counting all those blessings, what did they do? They grumbled. They moaned. They ignored God. And, in Paul's words, they sat down to eat and drink and to indulge in revelry. Don't get caught up like that, says Paul. Just be careful. We shouldn't commit sexual immorality as some of them did. In one day, 23,000 of them died. We mustn't test Christ as some of them did. They were killed by snakes. And don't grumble as some of them did. They were killed by the destroying angel. These things, says Paul, happened as examples. So if you think you're standing firm, he says, if you think that you're not going to fall into temptation, if you think you're okay and you're strong, well, just be careful that you don't fall. And his wonderful message that we needn't fall and we needn't add to those accident statistics is because no temptation has overtaken you except for what's common to mankind. And God's faithful. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he's going to provide a way out so that you can endure it. And how does he do it? Well, first of all, he stands by us when we're tempted. He gives us the help we need to endure and overcome. Paul says God is faithful, which means we can trust him not to let us down. We can trust him not to abandon us when we need him most. Do you remember in Psalm 46, we have that wonderful line which says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If you look it up in some of the more modern Bibles, you see that it's translated, God is our refuge and strength, a tested help in time of trouble. He's ready to help when we need him. He's always our help when we're in trouble. And secondly, God limits Satan's attack. Let's never, ever forget that Jesus won the victory. God is in charge, not Satan. God not only stands by us faithfully, but he takes charge of the situation for us if we'll let him. And his policy is intervention. He simply doesn't allow Satan to play upon our lusts more than we're able to resist. And he provides us with a way of escape. He gives us a way out. God doesn't allow the devil to hem us in. And sometimes the way of escape is found in things that God provides as an alternative course of action. Just think back to Abraham and the mess that he was in, and God provided that ram in the thicket. So, when we're tempted, what should we do? Let's go back to Jesus in the desert and do what he did. Let's pray. When we're tempted, pray. As somebody once said, it's very, very difficult to sin in the middle of praying. So pray. Secondly, make a positive decision to turn your back on the devil, just like Jesus did. Remember how he told him, "Away from me, Satan! Get away from me! It's written down, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Come on, Go away. I'll tweak his tail. We can do that just as much as Jesus did, actually. And thirdly, we can do what he did, which is refer to Scripture. We can go to our Bibles and we can find out what God has to say that we should be doing in that situation. So to sum up, God's faithful. He'll not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. When we are tempted, he'll provide a way out by standing by us, limiting Satan's power and providing the escape routes of prayer, willpower and Scripture. And this is where I came in. Just remember, temptation is not a sin, but the victory is down to Jesus. And there you'll be delighted to know I'm going to resist the temptation to carry on and finish there.